Acts, the second chapter, there's the plan of salvation. It's the only plan that we have today that we can absolutely be certain of, that if you obey the plan that's in Acts 2, verse 38, if you obey that and do what it says, and then stick with the power that you can receive, you can be saved. There's no other plan in the Bible that is as clearly the plan of God for salvation as Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And that says, after a question was asked to Peter and the rest of the apostles, after Peter had preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" There are people today wondering, what shall I do? What must I do? What does it take to be saved? Well, your answer is here. Here's the answer to the question. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Everybody say, "Every one of you." Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you... You use the word ye in this old English, but I'll just say it like this. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, every one of you do this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is a personal thing. For the promise is unto you. Everybody say, that promise is to me. The promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, saying, save yourself. Everybody say, I got to save myself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. You may be seated. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to do some things. Amen. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can repent for you. I'm not saying anything you haven't heard before tonight. This is just what I have for tonight. Nobody can repent for you. Nobody can seek God for you. Nobody can read the Word of God for you. If you want to be mad, nobody can be mad for you. If you want to be glad, nobody can be glad for you. It's up to you whether you're mad, sad, or glad. If you want to fly off the handle, nobody can do that for you. You will have to do it. If you want to take some exercise, then you will have to be the one that takes the exercise. Whatever it is that concerns you, if it's going to be done, nobody can do it for you. Amen. If you want to improve your ability to think better, then you will have to do it. Amen? If you want to change the way you have been to something that's better than the way you've been, you will have to be the one that does the changing. And if you want to be saved, you're going to have to save yourself. I thought God was going to save me. Well, God's not going to be saved for you. God is the one that saves. But if you want to be saved, you're going to have to obey the scripture here that says, save yourself. How do I save myself? Hey, if there was ever any more plain scripture in the Bible that tells us what it takes to be saved, as I said, I don't know where it's at. This scripture in Acts chapter 2 concerning repentance, baptism, and in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost is here in the place, in this area where the subject is how to be saved. The question is asked, what shall we do? The answer is given, a promise is made, and the instructions are save yourselves. How do I save myself? Repent. Nobody can repent for you. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, nobody cannot agree with that for you except you. Nobody can argue for you against this. If you want to argue with it or against it, then you're the one that's going to have to be against it, and you'll have to do the arguing. But some of us want to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you want to repent, then you will need to repent. I can't repent for you. I can pray for you to repent, but my prayers will not repent you. If you want to be baptized, nobody can be baptized for you. It's up to you. Baptism in Jesus' name is part of this answer. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. And if I know anything about English, and I did learn some things about English in school, when the answer came, repent, the understood part of that verse, Acts 2:38, when the question was given in Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was, you repent. You be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it's understood in the way that the sentences are written. What shall we do? Repent. Who? You. And be baptized. Who? Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Who? You. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto who?
You.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save who? Yourself. Let's praise him right now. Everybody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to play games with this, if you want to take this lightly and settle for something else to be your plan of salvation that's not that clear, then you can do that. And I can't decide to take it lightly or play a game on your behalf. That's up to you. But you're free. You're free to choose this day whether to really be saved or to think maybe you are saved or to convince yourself that you're saved just as good as anybody else without repentance, without baptism in Jesus' name, and without the Holy Ghost. If you want to be a positive-minded person, you'll have to think positive. This is so deep. And don't expect to be a positive person if you're grumpy. Because nobody, I don't care how many people around you are positive. I don't care how many people around you give seminars on positive thinking. If you are not positive, then that's you. But I ain't going to let your lack of being positive stop me, because I'm me. I serve a yes God who's looking for a yes people who will let God be God and let man be man who's full of mistakes. Man be man who's full of a lack of wisdom. Man can be man who's filled with a lack of knowing what to do and which way to turn, making foolish mistakes. But God never changes. He's always a wonderful God. He's always an excellent God. He's always an able God. He's always a prayer-answering God. He's always able to save you to the uttermost God. Hallelujah. And if you don't want God on His terms, who says, be cheerful, rejoice always, and you want to be a grouch We're not of them that draw back, but we're of those who see the challenge. And then they thank the Lord because I'm in the work of God. I'm in the midst of this while I'm doing something for God. I have the call of God in my life. And I know it looks bad. It makes me feel bad. And I don't like the way the circumstances are. But as for me, I'm going to be saved. And in all things, I'm going to give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning me. Nobody can obey God but you. For you. Hallelujah. Save yourself from this untoward, crooked, perverted, crazy, defiled, complex generation. Let's go to the book of Psalms for a moment. Amen. Psalm 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Not in the firmament of your lack of power. Not in the firmament of your thinking, I don't see how I'm going to make it, power. Not in the firmament of your being aggravated at the way things are, power. There's not much power in that. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts, not for your stupid acts. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness and not according to your awful failures. Don't let your mind be filled with thoughts of why you're not successful and why you can't make it and why you're sad and why you're frustrated and why you don't like the way things are. Who do you think God is? Just some little peewee over here that can't do anything? Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Not your greatness, not His greatness, but in the firmament of His power. Hallelujah. For His excellent greatness. Yes. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. I don't feel like it right now. Who are you to not feel like it right now? Are you not a child of God? We're not of them that draw back. We're of those who praise the Lord because God requires it. He inhabits the praises of His people. Who do you belong to? He inhabits the praises of His people. So you who can't praise Him right now, whose people are you? He inhabits the praises of His people. So what kind of a song are you singing? That's not giving Him praise. Who do you belong to? Hallelujah. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Who, me? Yeah, you. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Glory to God. Praise God.
The very first verse of Psalm 150 puts a you in every verse of this psalm. You praise the Lord. That's what it's saying. Praise ye the Lord. You praise the Lord. Everybody say, I am instructed to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's who I'm talking to. You. You praise the Lord. You praise God in His sanctuary. You praise Him in the firmament of His power. You praise Him for His mighty acts. You praise Him for His excellent greatness. You praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. You praise Him with a psaltery and harp. You praise Him with a timbrel and dance. You praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. You praise Him on the loud cymbals. You praise Him on the high-sounding cymbals. And you let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And while you're at it, you praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise Him. If the Baptists want to praise God, let them praise God. Praise God with them yourself. If the Methodists want to praise God, let them praise God. And while they're praising God, you praise the Lord. If the Catholics want to praise the Lord, let them praise God. They have breath. You let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But you praise the Lord. If all the Protestants who are not in truth want to praise the Lord, they have breath. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But while they praise Him, you praise the Lord. If the Jews want to praise the Lord and not accept Christ as the Messiah, let them praise Him. Because they have breath. Let everything that hath breath praise Him. And while they're praising Him, you praise Him. If the assembly of gods want to praise the Lord, let them praise the Lord. And while they're praising Him, you praise Him. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. But send them some DVDs and let them know you're praising Him too. Call them on the phone. Let them know I appreciate what God's done for you. I'm thankful. And listen to the assembly of God. People. Say, praise the Lord. Who am I to say, you ain't got enough? Whether they got enough or not, that's not the thing we're instructed to do. You praise the Lord. Let them praise the Lord, and you praise the Lord. Because if God inhabits the praises of His people, if somebody that's praising Him is not His people, if you will be His people, and if there's a connection there going on between you and God, God will use you to make them His people. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. God said, but it's by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? You praise the Lord. I've seen people get so mad working on a car. People that go to church. People, and I'm talking about, you know, I'm 64 years old. I've known a lot of people. And right now those I have in mind are not anybody you've ever known. But I've seen them get so disgusted working on an automobile that there's no way that you can tell by the way they act or the things they say that they've ever had a touch of God in their life. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's computers, internet, networks, or your job. There's never a reason why a child of God should not be positive and happy. And in this church, if you're a minister assisting me, not only are you instructed by God to do this, but you're commanded to do it by the pastor. And if you can't, set yourself down before I do it for you. Because if you're going to be set down, I would prefer you do it rather than me. And whoever that fits, it's for you. Because we are happy people. Not down in the mouth because I don't like the way this is. Uh-uh. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, saith the Lord. Witnesses. Well, I testify. I ain't talking about getting up here and testifying. I'm talking about when you feel like being grippy. Praise the Lord. You praise Him. In the firmament of His power. When you feel like secluding yourself from everybody else and let them praise the Lord, you need to get your act together and you praise the Lord, because it's not you versus them and them versus you. We're in this thing together, or you need to be in the altar while we praise the Lord till you praise the Lord. But I'm through with the games, and I'm through with playing around with people that don't want to live for God, don't want to act like they're living for God. Because you can't act like you're not living for God and be living for God. And you can't be living for God and not obey God. And nobody can fix it for you, including your pastor. I can't live for God for you. I can be thankful you're here. Who are you talking to, Brother Rutledge? You'd be surprised how many people in this church right now sitting on these seats present tonight I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. Me? Yes, you. I didn't do nothing wrong. Well, that's why I'm talking to you. So you won't. Wonder who he's talking to. Well, since you asked that question, then I am talking to you. Because we're not of those who go around wondering who this is for. Let's just feed your mind of curiosity that wants to surmise with evil surmising. Let evil imaginations arise in your heart and compare yourselves among yourselves and be not wise. Amen. You want to be like that? You can. But that's you. Where'd my cleaner go? Here's one. Amen. That's you. Heard a great man of God say once, that kind of preaching, the kind I'm doing right now, that may run some people off. No, it won't. I disagreed with the man of God. It won't run any people of God off. Hallelujah. God has always been a straight shooter. He put this in me tonight. So I don't care what happens, since it's God. But if anybody would leave or not want to be a part of this, because this message is not what caused it. It's because you're not living for him now. And all I can suggest to anybody that's not living for him now is the plan of salvation. You repent. Hallelujah. If you were ever baptized, that baptism is still valid once you got repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus in your life. But your repentance is only repentance if it is repentance now. Glory to God. Now, your baptism and the repentance together are required to be together for you to be saved. It's a combination of being repentant, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. They that are led of the Spirit are the children of God, are the sons of God. So there's more to this than repenting, being baptized in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost. That's all needed and necessary. But then we must follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And it's up to you to follow that leading. The Spirit of the Lord leads and guides us into all truth. If you're in an area of your life where you're thinking with that stinking thinking, negative thinking, everything's wrong, nothing's right, you don't like the way it is, you don't feel right about this, don't feel right about that, what spirit led you there? Who are you following? Glory to God. But they that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Let me tell you what the sons of God do. In the morning when they wake up, no matter what's going on, they're praising Him. Let me tell you what the sons of God do in the middle of the day when everything's gone wrong, the job's got you all confused, the boss is not acting right, and the machines are tearing up. You're praising Him. Why? Because you're a son of God following the Spirit of God, and He inhabits the praises of His people. And we're commanded to praise Him. You praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They that follow after the Spirit of Christ are the sons of God. The other side of that, which is equally true, those that do not follow the leading of the Spirit of God are not the children of God. Hallelujah. The scripture that says, lean not to your own understanding. It says, let Jesus, let God, He will direct your paths. It means what it says. It doesn't mean, well, if I don't feel like going the way God tells me to go, it's all right. What Bible did that come out of? God never told us to rewrite the scriptures. God never told us to privately interpret the scriptures to suit the way we feel. No matter how I feel, I'm instructed in all things to give thanks. Somebody slammed a car door on his finger when I was a little boy. And he said, thank you, Jesus. And another person in the car said, don't thank him for that. Why not? And that person said, well, the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Well, I said, well, his finger was in the door. And that's a thing. And the man said, thank you, Lord. And it seemed to me like it was the right thing to do. Thank you, Lord. My finger's caught in the door. Thank you, Lord. Don't mean you shouldn't remove it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, but the Bible doesn't say, in all things except when your finger's in the door, give thanks. It says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Then if it's the will of God concerning me, there's something about my finger in the door that's going to abound for a testimony to God. There's going to be something happen as a result of this. It may be painful at the moment. I may not like it at the moment, but I'm going to keep on smiling. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on hurting, but I'm going to keep on praising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's where God operates. When the children of disobedience arrive, and there are scriptures about children of disobedience all through the Word, who are these children of disobedience? They are the people of God who have disobeyed God. The Word of God is written to the children of God and those who are trying to become God's children. The children of disobedience. It's like in your family. When you were a child and you didn't want to obey your parents, you were still children of those parents. But there's one difference in the way that God operates and the way our families operate. God has prepared an eternal punishment for the children of disobedience. Hell hath enlarged itself, and the children of disobedience are going to be going through the same punishment as the devil and his angels and with all who never obeyed him and never became his child. I hear a lot of people say, well, we're all brothers and sisters. Well, they didn't read the Word of God. God never said we're all brothers and sisters. I heard them say, well, God made us all. That makes Him our Heavenly Father. They didn't read the Word of God. God looked at some people that weren't serving God one day, and He said, you're of your father, the devil. Now, the devil didn't make the world. But people who don't obey God and who don't listen to God, even if they once tasted of the heavenly gift and found themselves not following the Spirit of God. Amen. If they went away and didn't stay with it, it was only to establish the fact that they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have undoubtedly continued with us. Because it's impossible once you've tasted of this heavenly gift to push it aside and walk away from it. So if you went away from it, you must have got a hold of some kind of poison that you thought was the heavenly gift. Because you don't turn away from this without running back to it. Hallelujah. And if you don't come back to it, it's because you didn't have it. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lady said, well, I quit smoking, she said, 25 times. Amen. Just happened to be a conversation. I'm not, if anybody smokes, I'm not throwing this at you. I'm just saying what she said. I'm trying to make a point here. She said, I quit smoking 25 times. And when she told me that, she was smoking. And she said, I even fasted and went without food for 3 days about this smoking habit I've got. And I said to her, I have a solution to your problem. Spend 3 days eating and don't smoke. I never heard it like that. Well, if you want to quit smoking, what you do is you stop smoking. You don't stop eating in order to stop smoking. And smoke while you're not eating. Same with repenting of any sin in your life. If you want to repent of your sin, don't be doing that sin while you're saying you're trying to repent of that sin. If you were ever a sinner and you repented of those sins, and we all were, then those sins are not in your life today. And if they are, you didn't really repent. Hallelujah. Repentance is not asking God to forgive you of your sins. That is included. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. But repentance is asking God to forgive us of those sins we committed and then separating ourselves from those sins. For some, it's more difficult than others. Because some haven't learned the valuable lesson of depending upon the strength of God. Some just wait and they say, well, you know, when it's God's will, I'll be able to change. It's always been God's will. God's not going to sit back and suddenly decide it's time for you to stop sinning now. There's some of you, and I'm talking to the internet audience too, but there's some of you who don't realize what an effect you're having on others because of sins that you have committed while professing to be a child of God. You don't just affect yourself when you're not truly living this, but you affect those who know about it and those who know about them knowing about it because everybody talks. And after a few ears hear it, it finally makes its way back to the pastor. And here we are in a town preaching, telling people how to be saved. And you get up here and you testify telling them how to be saved. And they're sitting there watching you saying, ain't that the one? How can you expect God to save you and your family and your loved ones? And all the people that you want to see born again, how can you expect God to use you for anything except terrible tragedy while people watch your life and you try to hide your sin? Now who's he talking to? I'm talking to you. I didn't do anything. That's why I'm talking to you. Don't do this. But just in case somebody here has sin in your life and you thought you'd repented of it, you better make sure you're not doing it anymore, because you didn't repent of it if you did, and you're bringing reproach on yourself while we're trying to have a revival. And what you need to do is either get in this thing or get out of the way, because God's going to have a people whether you want to be part of it or not. But I want to be part of this. And I can't repent for you. I can't change for you. I can't stop doing these things for you. But if you're going to change, you save yourself. You don't think this message is needed? I know more about this church than you do. I happen to be the pastor here. God shows me things and then people tell me stuff. And I'm sick and tired of people being sick Christians, which means you're not a Christian at all. Hallelujah. A lot of people call themselves Christians. Adulterers, whoremongers, fornicators. People don't pay tithes. It's all the same category as far as I'm concerned. Murderers, gossipers, busybodies. Amen. Liars. A lot of people call themselves Christians. Amen. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. Those folks that we read about in Matthew said, but, or in Revelation, we prophesied in your name. Or maybe it was Matthew. Wherever it was, it's in the Word of God. We cast out devils in your name. We did all these things in your name. Who are these people? These are Jesus' name people. And he responds to them claiming all these things they've enjoyed. And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Who's he talking to? Jesus' name people that cast devils out. Jesus' name people that laid hands on the sick and saw them recover. Jesus' name people who spoke in tongues. Jesus' name people who prophesied. He said, I never knew you. Now, all of you out there who just turned me on and say, yeah, I knew the Jesus' name people were lost. You just didn't get it. You got to be Jesus' name to be saved. But I'm talking about of those who have come into this thing, have laid down their sins and their transgressions, have raised their hands and said, I thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me, have spent in many cases years praising him with tears in their eyes, singing the songs, playing the instruments, preaching the word, and now something's gone wrong. God didn't change. The church didn't change. The word didn't change. Nothing has changed but you. And the only way this is going to get fixed is you're going to have to let it happen. Nothing is hidden here because you got a real church and a pastor with eagle eyes that came from God that don't depend on these eyes to see where every secret of the heart's evil is. Imagining vain things such as, I'm going to make it somehow, anyhow, because I can't change. Now that is vanity filled with stupidity. Let us all stand. You can change. You don't have to be a hypocrite. But if you're going to be a hypocrite, that's you. But you can change. Somebody said, I don't want to go to that church because there's hypocrites in that church. I responded, there's always room for one more. Come on over. There's always going to be hypocrites mixed in with the church people. They're not any hypocrites in God's church. But the assembling of ourselves together, there's an invitation goes out to all hypocrites. You're welcome to come here. And you can sit here for years and be a hypocrite, and we're going to shout all around you. Praise God, dance in the Spirit, speak in tongues. And when it's all over, you'll be what you are, and I'll be what I am. But if you want to get straightened out, it's a good place to be. Be part of this. Hear the word that says, you praise him. I'm telling you, if a hypocrite starts praising God, hypocrisy will start draining out. Thank you, Jesus. If a fake person is faking it and not making it, not doing it right, starts really praying. I'm not talking about hypocriting a praise. I'm not talking about putting on a praise. If you really start praising God, hypocrisy will change. It'll go away. Because hypocrisy is nothing but a lying, deceiving devil is trying to tell you, you can't do it right. You don't have the real thing. You don't have what it takes. You need to kick that rascal out the door. We have the real God. He is what it takes. We have the real Savior. He really does save. We have the real healer. He really does heal. We have the true and living Christ who really did pay a ransom for all, everybody, anybody, including hypocrites and disobedient children of God, can come clean at God's altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But why after 25 years is God requiring that I say these things to this wonderful church? This beautiful congregation. Why in God's name does this pastor have to spend this 30 or 40 minutes rebuking devils when I would much prefer to be walking in unity, knowing that everybody that's in leadership, working with us, understanding what leadership is, what's required of leadership, to be an example in this place, knowing it for years, you can't veer from it, not even for 1 minute. No matter what the problem is, why am I having to talk about this? Because we're not right with God. That's why. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. But I'm right with God. That's why I'm talking to you. So you'll stay that way. But there's some of us that need to pray through. Because I'm getting tired of grouchy spirits that are not welcome in my house. Let's praise the Lord. And they're not welcome in my life. I kill that spirit and chase it out the door years ago. It's not welcome. Not welcome in this ministry and not welcome in heaven. You're not saved if you're an old grouch. Grouchy about stuff. I don't care what blows up in your face. Praise God in the midst of it. Put your eye out. Praise Him that you still got one left. Let's clap our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Rutledge, don't you think you're going to lose somebody that kind of preaching? No, sir. I think we're about to have a revival. And we're not going to have that bad example here when they come, because I'm going after some souls. I want to walk into a church filled with people who are happy people, praising God people, loving God people, not grouches, not down in the mouth, not hypocrites, not phony, but really happy to see them here. Coming to church early, stay until it's all over, spending a little extra time in prayer, looking for somebody to pray with, wanting to be a part of everything that's going on, and supporting this work with your heart in it, putting God first. That's the way this works. Hallelujah. Praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. And I don't want to hear any excuses of what somebody's any other way, because I've heard the devil too many times already. He just don't have equal time to speak with me. Like I told one of them years ago, they spoke right in my face and said, "We need to talk." I said, "I just got through at the pulpit." "Yeah, you got advantage." He said, "You got advantage. You're up there at the pulpit preaching. I ain't getting to say anything." I said, "The devil never gets to say anything to me. What I said was, 'Thus saith the Lord.' And the Lord told me to give no place to the devil." That means the seat that you're sitting in, if a devil is being manifested, you're in a hot seat. God bless you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Touch Him and be made whole. Hallelujah. You've heard the word. Respond. Let's call on His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heard the word, touch Him and be made. made whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not
going
to tell you what to do tonight. What you must do, you've heard. Praise God. Touch him and be made whole is the answer. Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord.
Yes,
we love
Lord.
You, Jesus, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ in this place.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah,
oh, he's waiting. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, if you're here tonight,
of the
you're
heart.
Guilty.
Hallelujah.
If
hallelujah.
You know that this message dug you up, made you think thoughts like, I know he's talking to me. That's probably because it's true. I probably was. But I'd like to say for you, to you, if you want to get it straightened out, you can. I'm here as your pastor. We're here as your brothers and sisters. And we will help you with damage control. But first, you're going to have to stop doing the damage. Hallelujah. Whatever's been affected, whoever you've affected, wherever you've marred yourself in the eyes of others, we're here to help you with that. We'll stand with you, but not in your sins. We will stand with you as you stand up and say to the devil, get out of my life. Son of God is standing by, waiting to hear your cry. Touch him and be whole. I was with a friend of mine last week. I have several friends who are in this category. He pastors a very large church. Big, beautiful church. Lovely congregation of hundreds of people. When I was around him, he was a young evangelist, preaching powerful revivals, letting God mightily use him, helping people to find their way to God. But now he pastors a big church. Amen. Nothing wrong with big churches. His church has a nice large gymnasium. Something for all the young people to enjoy. And they're building on more now. They got something for everybody. Family, life center, library, Christian academy. Got a nice group of men there that is their board that helps him with business, and they have board meetings regularly. They have him on a salary. He's making around $2,000 a week. That's pretty good money. Nice, beautiful home he lives in. It's all rent-free. It's a parsonage. As long as he's there, he has that for a home. No utilities to pay. Amen. I've had offers like that since I've been here. And could be doing that. Amen. But I want to tell you something. When I observe what's happened to that brother, that friend of mine, from where he was when he had nothing, being mightily used of God, and where he is now with all the money he could ever desire, being subject to a group of carnal-minded men, who have to be pleased with his preaching. Because how he does, how he performs, will determine on whether they build that next building or whether he gets to stay. Because the people on the board have the money. And the people in the positions have been there longer than he has. Been through that before. I know what it's like. I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls, friends and neighbors, men and women. I would go to a town with $1 or less and no gas in my vehicle and start with nobody but myself and God before I will ever be put in that kind of situation, even if they paid me $10,000 a week. Because it's not worth it. Now, they got cameras all over their church. They got some of the finest video you would ever see. And you're probably thinking, somebody, but I'm not talking about anybody you know right now. I'm talking about somebody you don't know. Amen. He's a friend of mine I've known for years. Had dinner with him this past week. But he's bound. Bound. Why? Because he always wanted to have a big church. Always wanted to have all this stuff. Always wanted to do all this work. But I listened to him preach on the internet. And what was an outgoing evangelist reaching for souls, being mightily used of God, is now, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, it's good to see brother so-and-so. And, oh, you brought a friend today. Oh, and he don't want to leave anybody. And, oh, yes, and you, oh, it's so good. And you're with so-and-so. And what? Did you, and you had a birthday last week. Oh, and let me speak. And so he reads the text. Oh, and I almost forgot. We're glad to see you here and your visit. Oh, it's so good to see you here. Then he starts, he looks around and clears his throat. Almost every sentence starts his words with, and I read the word of God. But he's just not what he used to be. And it ends up with a feeling of emptiness. Jesus' name, people. Choosing to go into bondage. Hang on to the name. Get all the stuff you can get. Enjoy the quality. One of their cameras costs more than everything we got in this building. Hallelujah. I'd rather live under a bridge with a few bums and have nothing than to go back to bondage. And yet some of you are here, and in the state of mind I've been seeing for the past few months, if we do grow, that spirit that's operating in your life wants to set you in some control position, which I will never allow to happen. Because before we will grow and require that somebody with a carnal mind sit on a board, which you will have to have someday, before I let that happen, we will reduce the membership of this church body down to 8 people or less. And God will supply all our needs without your filthy spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Because there's some sinner out there that really wants the real God. Now, if you think I'm talking about you, what are you going to do about it? Tell you what to do about it to prove that you are a child of God. Change. And do it now. Praise God. Because I'm not going to let up. It's going to get worse next time. Heat's going to get hotter, and we're not going to put up with it. Praise God. A person looked at me last week and said, Rendell, because this person knew me well enough to speak to me like that. Rendell, what are you going to do up there in Norwich when you run out of faith? I said, it's not going to happen. Well, you're going to get older, you know. I said, I'm not going to run out of faith. Caleb got old. Joshua got old. Moses got old. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you know, I had just got through saying, I just got through going around through almost $7,000. And this person said, how are you going to do when you run out of faith? You know what my response was? If everybody leaves the church in Norwich, and if everything we have here is taken away, and we don't have the building, we don't have the chairs, we don't have the camera, we don't have the mics, we don't have the internet, don't have nothing. If I've got $2 in my pocket, I have doubled what I went there with. And brothers, I see that as faith and the blessings of God. And I can be happy I really can be happy if everything is taken away instantly, as long as I still got God in my life. And that's the way we need to live. Praise God. Everybody praise the Lord. I can also be happy if we have 1,000 people in one mind and one accord, and millions of dollars flowing and reaching around the world and touching lives in every corner of this earth, ministering to people in China and Bangladesh and in all kinds of places. I've been talking to people on the internet this week from about 20 different countries. They're loving what we got going on here, and they're depending on us. So what do we need to do? Whatever it takes to keep on bringing this message to them with happiness, with cheer, with joy, and with gladness. Hallelujah. So if you got a bellyache while it's going on, take something for it. And wash it with good water. And praise the Lord. Amen. Touch Him and be. Everybody sing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Son of God, standing by, waiting to hear your cry. Touch Him and be. Hallelujah. I'm not ready to dismiss tonight. I would like for us to go home praising God for the victory. Amen. I want you to go home praising God for your victory. Amen. So everybody gather around the front. Everybody in the building that will gather around the front. And shout either for the victory or because of the victory. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We're victorious tonight. Hallelujah. We have triumphed over the devil. We are triumphant. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody can praise Him for you but you. You're the one that needs to praise Him. If you're going to praise Him, it'll have to come from your lips, from your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't praise me, saith the Lord, the rocks will cry out praises unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Times are tough right now. Then praise Him louder. Things are going tough right now. Then get tough with it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Endure hardness as a soldier. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I looked at a group of men right in the face as they are all crying in Shreveport, Louisiana, as I had been ministering for Brother Shelton Young. This group of men followed their pastor, who had succeeded me in the church that I pastored in Louisiana for a couple of years. We had a mighty move of God in that church. My group of leaders, which sat on the board and were the secretary and the trustee, because when you start having hundreds of people, you have a lot of business and you need a lot of help. My little group of leaders had become carnal. They had become disobedient children of God. And they were saying things and doing things that, in order to please God as God's man, looking over that flock of sheep with Jesus with me, required that I either yield to God or yield to the spirit that was in them that was not of God. So I took a stand. A lot of my friends said that was unwise. You shouldn't have done that. You could still be there, Brother Rendell, if you had just not rocked the boat so much. Let me tell you something, West Monroe, Louisiana. If I had it to do over again, I'd do it twice as loud. And I'd be 10 times as strong. Because it was the Spirit of God trying to wake up the dead people that had gone asleep on God. What a mighty move of God. 205 received the Holy Ghost. While our leaders, after a few weeks, started backing up, folding their arms and watching. Some of them went on vacation because the revival was just going too long. And they always take a vacation this time of year. Some of them went to go see some friends and neighbors because 9 weeks is just too long to have to be in church every night. But on that last service, on that last night of that 9th week, some more people received the Holy Ghost. And some more were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus while they were gone somewhere else after having testified for 40 years, some of them. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, all He's done for me. Those kind, my brothers and sisters, if they don't get their lives straightened out before they die, will hear the Master say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Amen. I see potential for revival right now. Amen. We had revival in Louisiana. A couple of years later, I was in Shreveport. Here came all those men. That could have been a mighty part of something God was doing that could have kept going. Tears in their eyes, one by one, saying, "I'm sorry, Brother Ulledge. I'm sorry I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was wrong." Please, folks, if you're in this church, don't wait until you've caused havoc and split us all up and tore us up before you finally admit that you were wrong. Do it now before God. You don't have to tell me. But if you're not going to get your spirit right, then with God's help, I'll help you to remove it to make room for somebody that wants to live for God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Touch Him. And while we sing it, would you worship God tonight? Would you worship Him? Make whole. Just reach out and touch Him and be. Made whole. Hallelujah. Oh, Son of God is standing waiting to hear your cry. Touch Him and be made. Oh, hallelujah. I see a renewed vision of a net around the world and people calling on God and Jesus lifting us upward. We're part of something wonderful. We need to be a part of it with all of our hearts, individually, collectively. Let the church at Norwich be God's church in Norwich.
But he did not see.